My name is John Erling. Today's date is February 17th, 2016. Clarence, would you state your full name, please?
Clarence G. Oliver, Jr.
Can I ask you what the G is for?
Grady.
Clarence Grady Oliver.
Grady Oliver, Jr.
Jr. Your date of birth and your present age?
July 24, 1929. I'm 86 years old.
And we're recording this today in the facilities of VoicesOfOklahoma.com. Where were you born?
I was born in Ada in south central Oklahoma, Pontotoc County. Nice regional community.
Your mother's name?
My mother was an adopted baby, so she has a legal name that was rarely used. Her correct name is Jewel Americus Dyer. She added Roberts because the family took her in but did not legally adopt her.
I'm taken with the name Americus.
Americus.
Yeah. My grandfather in North Dakota, this is just an aside, he settled land in 1894 in Americus Township. I've always been taken by that name, Americus. There was a man named Americus, wasn't it,
yes,
in the history?
Right.
Anyway, your mother, what kind of person was she? Describe her personality.
She was very outgoing. She only had the opportunity to go to school to the eighth grade. That's all that was offered where she had the opportunity to go to school. And she went to work as a maid or a servant in the home of a rather wealthy family in Ada and observed how successful they were and some of the things that contributed to her success. And as I was a child, she tried to share some of that information with me and encourage me to do some things that would emulate those people who had been successful.
So that obviously worked.
I don't know about that, but I attempted. I got kidded a lot about wearing a suit most of the time. Even now, I still do in a professional activity. When I was 6 years old, she had begun to tell me the importance of dressing properly, and I don't know where she got a suit at that time in the financial situation because our family was really not well off at all. But she put me in a suit at age six and encouraged me all through life to always have a suit available. Maybe the only piece of good clothing that we had, but she said, "You'll have a suit." So it was something that she taught me that I have really bought into.
To this age of 86.
That's right.
Because you came in with a suit and tie on today, as a matter of fact. Your father's name?
Obviously, since I'm a junior, my father was Clarence Grady Oliver, Sr.
Where did he grow up?
He grew up in rural Pontotoc County in a community called Pecan Grove. It was a community that was established to some degree by his father, who had moved in the territorial days, the late 1800s, from Tennessee, from a town called Walnut Grove. And he named this little community Pecan Grove that he helped develop.
What did he do for a living?
Well, he also came through some difficult times. He grew up as a farm family. There were 12 children in the family. The school he went to was only up to the sixth grade, and that's all the education that he had, formal education. He loved to read, and he was kind of self-educated after that. During much of the time that I was a child, during the Depression years, he had to work at odd jobs, whatever he could. Originally, after he left the farm, he went to work for a service station that his older brother owned. And in those days, the service station was a rather complete place with the mechanics and tires and batteries and was selling all of those kinds of activities. There were about 8 or 9 people employed at that station, and he served as the clerk, did whatever financial record keeping that they had. In his later years, he was employed by the Oklahoma-Portland Cement Company. He was a boiler engineer and worked in that occupation until he was able to retire.
Were you encouraged that education was real important?
I really was not. Neither of them had progressed beyond elementary school years. I think I was more encouraged in that line by a gentleman who was a Sunday school teacher and later a then junior high school teacher. He was also a scoutmaster. He took me under his wing. He recognized that I came from a family that was not very well privileged, and he encouraged me to make some changes and to prepare to move on with an education.
Did you have brothers or sisters?
I have a sister who's 10 years younger.
So you were out of the home by the time she was 6 or 7, probably?
Yes, she was 7 or 8 when I was often on my own.
Tell us about the first house you lived in, what you may remember about it.
It's the house I was born in and I grew up in. It's an interesting house. It was over in the original part of Ada, the north side of the tracks, and in those days, and probably still is referred to as the wrong side of the tracks. It was an older part of town. It was a four-room house. At the time I was born and in my early days, it did not have any amenities. They only had gas lights, no electricity, no water, no sewer, outdoor privy, well outside. It was built to some degree. Most of it was built by my grandfather, who was not my legal grandfather, but he was a gentleman who he and his wife had adopted my mother when she was 6 weeks old. The interesting thing is that this gentleman, this grandfather of mine, was blind. And he was a very intelligent person. He operated a small, what we in those days called a neighborhood grocery store. In those days, grocery stores were just little mom-and-pop operations. Even though he was blind, he was able to operate a store. He wrote poetry. He could sing. He could play the harmonica and the, what at the time I did not understand the language, but what I thought was a juice harp, and he was talking about playing the juice harp. But a very, very intelligent person and a good carpenter. He would be able to saw a board if someone would measure it and give him the spot to start. He would saw the material. He built the house, did the gas plumbing under the house. My mother, who was a child, would show him where to cut the pipe. He would cut the pipe and thread it and assemble it and put in all of the gas in the house, even though he was a blind person. I was born in that house and lived in that house until I married at age 21.
Wow. You must have drawn a lot from your grandfather.
Then. I did. He's another of my heroes. I became his, for lack of a better term, seeing eye dog when I was about 6 years old. He loved to walk, and I, each evening, would lead him. He would hold onto my arm, and we would walk around the block, around the neighborhood. As a result of that, I developed a pretty good skill of observing what was going on all around, because a person leading a blind man needs to be able to tell them there's a tree on the left, there's a crack in the sidewalk, there's a bump here, there's a curb here, and if you were going into a neighbor's house, you would have to tell him how many steps there are up to, on the porch, and that there's a screen door, and it opens from the left to the right. So at a very early age, I began to develop those skills. How do you tell what's going on to a person who can't see? He also liked to be read to, and as soon as I learned to read, even as a first grader, I would read to him at night, and as that skill developed, I read the Bible to him, I read magazines to him, I read newspapers to him every evening. Probably that helped develop the skill of being able to read orally. Mm-hmm. And I've used that through the years.
It's been, look at all the knowledge you gained as a youngster.
And I did.
And nobody told you you had to do this, did they? I mean, as a six-year-old boy, you had a responsibility you felt.
That was part of the family responsibility.
Right. Did he live with you?
He lived in a room in the back of this little store that he had next door.
And we haven't said his name. What was his name?
His name was MDL Roberts, but that MDL stands for Marquis de Lafayette Roberts. They called him Marcus. In those days, it was very common to name people after heroes, and obviously the Marquis de Lafayette was a great hero in our nation, and my grandfather was born in the mid-1800s, so Lafayette was still very popular.
About your house and the simplicity of it, since you didn't have electricity, what did you do to keep products cold? Have an ice box, as they called it, I suppose?
We had an ice box, and the ice man cometh. Every day the delivery man would come by, originally in a wagon and later in a pickup truck with ice in the back cupboard, blocks of ice. We'd place a sign in the screen door or the window of how much ice we would need that time, and usually in our family we could get 12 and a half pounds, which was the smallest quantity. The ice man would put hooks in it, put it in a bag, and carry it into the house and place it in the ice box, in the top of the ice box, and the cool air would go down into the inside of the box, and the water melting from the ice would go to the bottom in a pan, and it was a typical ice box.
Cold winters. Was the house built for that?
The house was a single wall house. There was no insulation. Originally, newspapers were pasted to the inside to help with some insulation. The only heat was an open-faced stove in the living room. Not a large one, but it was an open-faced heater, which was pretty common in those days. Later, in my probably 10 years old age or something in that range, my father was able to get some additional plumbing and to bring in water from the city water system and put in a sewer system, and he built a bathroom, enclosed a back porch to make a small bathroom. The hot water heater was inside the bathroom. It was rather primitive in design, but it did function. We had a bathtub and a stool, and we had an indoor bathhouse for a time.
You felt you were getting modern then?
We were modern, and my dad built a cabinet in the kitchen for my mother. We were uptown. Mm-hmm. During the Depression time, it was a four-room house, difficult times. My family rented out two rooms of those four rooms for another family. Our family lived in two rooms, and the other family lived in the other two rooms.
What about a kitchen? Did you all come communally to the kitchen?
Each one had a small kitchen arrangement in the room.
How large was that family?
They had one son, a couple, and one child.
Quarters got a little close at times.
It was a little close. That was not uncommon to have part of your house rented out. Still rented by the time I was in high school. We were living in three rooms and had rented one to a lady and her daughter. And we did share kitchen and bathroom facilities there.
As primitive as that was, when you look back, it's just got to make you feel so proud that they did what they needed to do to get by.
They survived.
And they did survive.
Right.
How old was your mother when she died?
My mother was 83 when she died. My father had cancer and died at 66, just a year or two after he was able to retire.